Well, good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord. So good to see each and every one that's gathered in for our praise service tonight as we give thanks to the Lord for 2022 and all of the blessings that the Lord did give to us in His grace and His mercy in that past year. We welcome you in the Savior's name and all of those that are visiting, and we have quite a number of visitors this evening. We welcome you as well. The Lord will be near to us as we're in His house this evening. Let me just remind you of the announcements, both for this evening and the incoming week. There is a light supper provided for everyone this evening, immediately after the meeting. And we do invite and encourage all to remain behind to have that time of food and of fellowship one with the other in the upper room immediately afterwards. We do remind you and do ask you for your prayers for the incoming week from Monday through to Friday. The ministers, the students, licentiates, and some of our missionaries will be gathering together for the week of prayer from tomorrow afternoon until Friday morning. And we're thankful it's back in person this year. We're looking forward to the times of fellowship, both around God's word and one with the other. And we do encourage you to remember us in prayer as we go and remember each one that has the task of preaching. Thankfully, that's not me, but we're looking forward to those that will have that task. And we're looking forward to those times. And we do pray that the Lord will draw near and the Lord will encourage His servants. Do remember, on Wednesday evening there will be the time of Bible study and of prayer here in the church in the upper room at 8 p.m. And we invite and encourage all of God's people, young and old alike, to come and to study God's word and to spend the time in prayer, even corporately here in the church. Our brother Ivan Morrison will be handling that service for us in our absence. We do as well remind the elders the communion service is tomorrow evening in our Corian church at 8 p.m. And you're welcome, brethren, to come along to that. Service is next Sunday, the Sabbath school in the morning, the recommencement of it after the Christmas break at 10:30. The services, 11:30, 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both meetings. And it is Building Fund Sunday next week. We remind you of that. And please, if you have any gifts or offerings towards it, bring them in next week. The preacher at both of the services will be the Reverend William McRae. Do pray for God's servant as he will come. And pray that the Lord will bless and even speak through his servant as he ministers in the word. As you leave this evening, if you didn't get the motto text card this morning, then we do invite you to take ones with you this evening. Those that are visiting, we even invite you as well. Take them with you. And may that verse be a blessing and a challenge to your heart as you go this evening. There's some a calendar still from those that we distributed in the area. If you'd like a calendar for the incoming year, and you maybe are outside of the catchment area in the two villages, or maybe you'd like to give it to someone else, well, they're there on the table. Please make use of them as you leave. Ballymoney's Missionary Conference is this incoming weekend, Friday and Saturday evening. And we do invite you and encourage you, if you can go along and be part of those meetings, then do that indeed. If not, then we encourage you to tune in online and listen as there's the various reports. And the focus this year is on Uganda, Ukraine, Romania, and Brazil. And on Friday evening, I believe Dr. Bill Woods will be along to speak at that service. And certainly that will be a blessing in itself, hearing God's child once again minister in the word. So if you can get along to those meetings, do make that effort indeed, please. We always mention this either at the end of the year or at the start of the year, and that is we encourage God's children, as a year comes to an end, do spend that time before the Lord in examination and seek the Lord and challenge yourself even before God. If you have grown in the last year, if you have known the Lord's presence, if you've known a greater knowledge of His word, of His person, we do encourage God's people always to examine themselves in light of Scripture, that the Lord will even show us and teach us more of Himself and draw us ever closer indeed to Him. Now we are here to praise the Lord tonight, to give thanks unto God for the year that has come to an end and all of the blessings in it. We're going to commence this evening with the hymn number 18. The hymn number 18 you'll find on page 182, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Hymn 18 will stand after we receive the introduction, please. Tonight together in prayer, still ourselves before God. Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee this evening. We enter into thy courts with praise, with adoration, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We rejoice that we're coming before a living God. We're coming before a thrice holy God. We're coming before one who is in control, one who's seated upon the throne, one who is the God of all heaven and all earth. We bow before thee this night, O God, and we do seek to praise thee and to worship, to glory in our Saviour, to glory in our God, to give thanks for all that God has prospered and all that God has accomplished even within the work of Six Mile Cross in this past year. We give thee praise, O God, for the work that thou hast done personally and individually within thy people. We thank thee, O God, for, Lord, the increase even in knowledge, the strengthening of resolve even to stand for God. and the increase of grace within thy people. We thank thee for drawing nigh to us and drawing us ever closer to thee. We thank thee for keeping us. We thank thee, O God, for watching over us. We thank thee for thy hand upon this work. We thank thee, O God, that this is thy work. It's not the work of a preacher. It's not the work of a session or any individual within the church. This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord's church. We gather this evening to thank thee and to praise thee for what thou hast done in it, even in this past year. We thank thee, O God, for the prospering of it, for individuals that have been reached with the gospel. We thank thee, O God, for the soul that has been saved. We thank thee, O God, for the new contacts that have been made, for new children and children's meeting, new individuals, new young people in youth fellowship. Lord, we thank thee for the opportunities even to reach new children in the schools with the gospel. We thank thee for those that have even listened online, for new individuals that have heard the gospel in that means. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless all things, that thou wilt glory, O God, and that thou wilt glorify in all that is done and said this night. We do come, O God, this night to worship. And we pray that our hearts will be ready even to worship tonight, that thy people will be cleansed afresh in the precious blood of Christ. And thou wilt fill us with thy Spirit. We think later on, O God, as individuals will come to give the reports of the various works, we pray that thou wilt bless each one that has a part to play tonight. We pray that thou wilt help them, O God, to exalt Christ. And we pray for those that will minister in song, that thou wilt bless in that aspect as well. And then as we come around thy precious word, O that thou wilt draw near, that this word tonight that thou hast laid upon my heart, that it will be a word in season, it will be a word from thee. It will be that encouragement to the people of God even for the year that lies ahead. And that the Lord is not simply finished. The Lord is not yet done in this area. But the Lord has yet more to do. Oh, Father, we pray that thou wilt presence thyself amongst us. We pray this night that thou wilt protect us. Oh, God, as we are here in this building, that we will know the protection of the blood around about us. That the devil will be kept out of this meeting. Oh Lord, we want all of the wickedness and all of the distractions and all of the evils. We want them kept at bay this night. We want, oh God, to sit at the feet of Christ, to look upon our Savior, to worship and to praise Him. Oh Lord, remember us for good, we pray Thee. Bless us this night. Bless this work. Bless every family, every individual. Bless, oh God, the going forth of Thy word right across this land and further afield. Bless thy servants who have the privilege tonight of opening up the book. We thank thee for the good news of the gospel. We thank thee for the lively hope that we have in Christ Jesus. No, Father, we pray as the gospel is preached that souls will be dealt with. That souls will be broken, brought to an end of themselves. And O God, that this year will even commence with a precious soul being saved in each of our congregations. We pray for the incoming week. We think of all of the ministers and the students and thy servants who will meet together for that week. Oh God, that thou wilt meet with us. That thou wilt revive thy servants. That thou wilt revive our pulpits in these days. That thou wilt set, oh God, each of thy children, each of thy servants who minister in the word, that thou wilt set them on fire for God. That they will burn brightly in the darkened land. That they will burn brightly for Christ. Oh, Father, be near and bless in every aspect. Remember this work, we pray thee. Remember us, O God, for good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to announce the next three items in the order of service this evening. And to save me getting up and down, firstly, we're going to have the children's meeting report. And that's brought by our sister Sarah. Immediately afterwards, there'll be the Sunday school report from Alex. And then immediately after that, Sarah and Rhoda are going to sing. So it's going to be in that order. Sarah first, then Alex, and then Sarah and Rhoda singing. And we pray that the Lord will bless each one as they take part this evening.
I just want to start with a verse from the book of Proverbs in the chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. On Monday nights, we have our children's meeting weekly in the upper room. There are 14 children in regular attendance each week. Most of the children are not connected to our own congregation here, so we are extremely glad of the connections that have been made with each family and home. Earlier in the year, as the Queen's Platinum Jubilee was being celebrated, each child was given a commemorative Jubilee Bible, and we pray that the children would treasure the Word of God and that they would read and learn to have the Bibles for years to come. At the Monday night meetings, we follow a structure each week of teaching and singing choruses, learning memory verses, a quiz based on the previous week's lessons, and we end each meeting with a lesson taught from the Word of God. We started this term by learning about creation and Adam and Eve before moving on to the life of Moses, which we will be continuing next Monday night when we recommence. The children all listen extremely well each week and get quite competitive during the weekly quizzes. Memory verses are sent home each week, and we are thankful to the children and the parents that spend time learning and teaching them. We are also thankful for each child that attends and each family that makes the effort to send them every week. Whilst we are thankful for each child, we pray that God will continually work within each child's heart and draw more children in the months and years ahead. I also want to take this opportunity to thank you for your remembrance and prayer for the children's work, the leaders, and the children. Most of all, we give thanks to God. Thanks for the practical help and the safety throughout the year, the opportunity he has given us with these children and their families, and also that this work still stands as a witness in this area throughout the years. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus."
When preparing this, great minds must have thought alike, as my first tonight was Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But that verse truly is the aim of our Sunday school here in Six Mile Cross. Over the last year, the Sunday school work has continued with Peter and Anne and Dawn teaching up until June, and then Peter and myself teaching from September to December, with Dawn providing support and cover and preparing to teach the junior class as and when needed. We started the year with 9 children on the register and with a variety of attendance. But since September, the regular attendance has dropped to just 4, leaving Peter to teach the older 2 children, and they have studied through the book of John, along with learning the shorter catechism. I've had the privilege of teaching the younger 2 children, and we have covered the life of Daniel, along with learning the Psalm 121 and the child's catechism. We'd like to give thanks and praise to God for the children that do come faithfully each and every week. Though they are few in number, we are so blessed with their willingness to learn and their participation in classes. We give thanks to God for what they have learned of his word this year, and we pray that throughout the next year that they will never forget it, they will take it with them, and they will use it to lead and guide them throughout their lives. We appreciate the prayers of each and every one here for this vital work within our church. We encourage you to keep praying and keep remembering the children. Pray for more children to come. We pray for children that have been here to return, and we pray for that commitment from both children and parents so that they might come and learn more of God's word and be instructed of it. Pray for the help to be given to the teachers, both in their preparation and the teaching of the children, and that they will too be encouraged through this work. And Pray even that when we stand here, hopefully not me, next year in 2023, that we will have great cause for rejoice over what the Lord has done in his work. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Let me thank Sarah and Alex for the two reports on behalf of the two departments of our children's work, and then also Sarah and Rhoda for singing to us. We're now going to have the media report, and we're going to ask our brother Paul Anderson to come and to bring it, please.
As another year has finished, tonight we can look back and give thanks to the Lord for his hand and his blessing upon the media work of our church here in Six Mile Cross. Again, in 2022, we had two areas in which media ministry was concentrated. Firstly, we had the online side of the media ministry, which is the biggest part of our ministry. Again, in 2022, we used three different platforms to seek to spread God's word. The year of 2022 was the first year of our streaming ministry, which has not been affected by lockdowns and COVID. That being the case, this is the first normal year for this side of media ministry. YouTube is the main platform that we use. All Sunday services are streamed live on this platform. and each service we normally have between 3 and 6 devices watching in. Over the past 12 months on YouTube, we have had 7,929 views on our sermons. This averages out at about 150 views per week. We have also seen an increase in the amount of subscribers that we have to our YouTube channel. Subscribers are up by 24 in the past 12 months. People who have subscribed to the channel account for 38% of people that are viewing our content. It is very encouraging to see people returning week after week to view the sermons that we have streamed live. Sermon Audio is another platform that we use. While we don't stream services to Sermon Audio, we do upload all sermons, including midweek messages, to our page on Sermon Audio. In the past 12 months, we have had a total of 8,676 sermon views on our page. This averages out to about 166 views per week. On top of this, we have had a further 2,300 mobile views in the past year. Over the past year, we have reached 57 countries with our Sermon Audio page and have had listeners from 47 out of the 50 US states. Facebook is the final platform that we use. Over the past year, our Facebook page has reached 6,845 people, and this is a 12% increase on the previous year. 3,883 have visited our church page in 2022, and this is an increase of 48%. We also had 55 new likes on the page this year, which is a 22% increase. Currently, we have a total of 703 people who follow the church. Secondly, we have the CD ministry. Each week, CDs are produced and given to those who can't access the internet to download sermons. This is also an essential service to those who are shut in and can no longer make it out to church. During 2022, we were delighted to welcome Judah and Matthew to the media team. It's good to see the young people getting involved in this work. While we gained 3 new team members in 2022, we also lost 2 members. I want to place on record my thanks to Stephen for his help over the years streaming the services. I also want to thank Gareth, who has stepped down after 13 years of work printing and copying CDs each week. I also want to thank Paul Kearns, and he wrote this report, but then he flew out to the US and I was stuck having to read it. He wrote this report and he has been a massive help to the media team this year, from always being close at hand to help us newcomers, to helping with the purchase and installation of new equipment. We can truly say to the Lord, great is thy faithfulness, for his hand upon the media ministry in 2022. Please pray that the Lord will again be with this ministry in 2023, that through this means that God has given us to seek to reach the lost and to help encourage God's people. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I thought to myself, whenever Paul mentioned that the other Paul has left the country, how happy everybody is to make reports. My wife says she doesn't want to be here next year to make the report, and flew to America. Stephen Anderson didn't write a report. He got married and just left. And so we're doing well for reports and those that give them. But with Stephen then getting married, our youth leader, and moving away, it falls on me then to bring the report on the youth fellowship. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." 2022 in the youth fellowship has been a year of overall encouragement Whilst the year finished with our youth leader, as I mentioned, getting married and moving away, which certainly is a loss to our youth fellowship and to our church. And nevertheless, we do thank God both for Stephen's commitment to that work and for the blessing of all of our young people, even in this past year. We started the year with 8 in regular attendance, 7 from our own congregation, and then 1 coming over from another church every 2 weeks. And we finished the year with 10, roughly 11, sometimes coming to our youth meetings. Between January and December, we did lose 2 of our youth, but we've gained at least 3 new ones. Indeed, at the games night, which we finished off the year with in the manse, there was another new young man who came, and God willing, we trust and pray that even maybe he'll come in a new year to our meetings here in the church. Over the last year, the young people read and studied through the book of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's novel, John Bunyan's allegory, and they were given the task of reading so many pages every 2 weeks, and then we gathered together to discuss it and to go through it then together in the meetings. There was also a number of opportunities to have trips away, including one evening where we went to Oma and took their youth fellowship. We attended the youth council, evenings of prayer and seasonal rallies. There was a night out in June to Prison Island in Belfast, and there was also the youth weekend to Rosnoula in the month of October, along with the young people from Londonderry. And then, as I said, finishing off the year with pizza and games over in the manse. Certainly we look back, and I can personally say I look back with happiness on those times, both in June and in December, when the young people came and took part in our Sunday services. It's always a joy to see the young people stepping up and taking part in those ways. And we always look forward to those times whenever they do have a part to play in our Sabbath services. We do thank, and I do thank and praise God for each and every one of them, for their commitment, their dedication, and their enthusiasm. And I look forward to this year, and I trust the young people look forward to this year. We're going to study together the 12 disciples, taking one of the disciples week by week, and looking forward to more times of fun and of fellowship. A couple of prayer requests I leave with you as we give thanks to God. Do pray for our youth. Pray for our young people that are saved. Pray that they will know the help of the Lord and being able to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, that they will be able to then stand for Christ. It is not easy days to be a young person. It is not easy days to be a Christian in school. It's not an easy day to be a young person and a Christian in the workplace. Pray for our young people that God will enable them to stand for Him. Pray that they will be an example to believers and be an example of the believers. Even as 2 Timothy 4 and 12 speaks of, that they will be examples in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Pray for our young people that are not saved. Pray that God will save them. Pray that God will have mercy upon them, bring them into the family of God. Pray for more young people to join with us. We think of those that once they come to the end of P7 in our children's meeting, so many of them then just disappear. They don't transfer then on from the children's work into the young people's. Pray that will come to an end, as it were, that we won't simply lose them, even those children that, as Sarah mentioned, children that are not part of the church family, their parents don't come here. And so often whenever the parents and the families aren't church families, if you want to use that term, then when it comes to the end of the children's time and children's meeting, then the parent has no desire for them to carry on into the young people's. We pray that desire will be placed in hearts, that we will not simply have children up until the age of 11 and then they're just gone, but rather that we will have children into youth and into adulthood still attending and being under the presence and the word of God each and every week. And so we trust and pray that the Lord will bless all of our works, even in the year to come, the children's work, the Sunday school, the media, and the youth work as well. Let me just take this opportunity to thank all of those who are involved in the church here in Six Mile Cross. I do place on record my thanks to the session and to the committee of our church, to the session for their spiritual leadership, and to the committee for all of the material support and help and understanding and governance that they give to the affairs of the church. I do thank all of our children's workers, our Sunday school teachers. I thank our prayer warriors. I thank God for those in this church that give themselves to prayer, to remembering both the preacher and all of the works. They're a vital resource. Never think that a prayer warrior's a little task that you do in your retirement. Prayer warriors are so vital. I thank the cleaners, and those that do the upkeep of the outside of the church. I thank those that give of their time, both in the cold and wet nights and also the windy and dry nights, to hand out leaflets to put through invites through letterboxes. I thank our musicians in the church, the organist and the pianist, who so ably accompany us every week. I thank all in the media team, and those that have come to the end and have stepped aside, and also those that continue on and the new ones that are part of the media team. I thank all those that help with catering whenever it's needed, whether it be to host a visiting speaker if that need arises, or even with suppers and different needs that there are in the church. And anyone that I have missed, and everyone that does anything in this church, I do thank you sincerely. And I encourage you to keep on. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Keep on going forward. Give yourself continually to the work of the Lord. And whatever you can do, whenever you can do it, may the Lord bless this work in 2023. We're going to have one more item of praise, and it's a men's group. We're going to ask them to come forward now, and we're going to sing to you.
Children along, some through the water. risen and all
Let's turn in our hymn books to the hymn number 20 as we lift our tithes and our offerings this evening. The hymn number 20, page 183. We praise thee, we bless thee, our Saviour divine. All power and dominion forever and be thine. Remain seated for the first part of the hymn, please. On for verse 4, please. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 7. The book of Deuteronomy in the chapter 7, there's just one verse we want to read with you this evening. It's verse 22. Deuteronomy 7, verse 22. Of God says, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. It's that little phrase, little by little. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for everything this night already that has taken place in this house. We thank thee, Lord, for the reports that have been given. Lord, the encouragement that has been there even as we have heard. And Lord, as it has been brought to our attention what God has done. And Father, even now as we come around thy word, we pray that thou wilt speak. We pray, O God, that thou wilt encourage. Thou wilt work within all of our hearts. We pray, O God, for those of thy children tonight that are here. Lord, that thou wilt encourage them, that thou wilt give them that word even in season for their hearts. We pray for those maybe amongst us that are cold at heart, that thou wilt draw them back to thyself. We pray for those, O God, that are not saved, that thou wilt save their precious, never dying souls. Hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We've gathered this evening to hear of what God has done, even for us here in Six Mile Cross, and this past year, to give thanks to God for every good gift, every perfect gift, which cometh down from the Father of lights. We have heard the reports of the various works and the outreaches of this church. And truly, we can raise our Ebenezers and we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. As I considered what would the Lord's message be, even for us this evening, for this praise service, the Lord directed my mind and my heart to this little phrase in the book of Deuteronomy, where the Lord promises, even through his servant Moses, that the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. This actually was a message that I first began to look at back in December 19. Whenever I sat down in that December to read and to study and to prepare a message I believed I was going to do, I got as far as the introduction done, and then I hit a brick wall. And so that message got shelved. But as we came to the end of this year, as we came towards this service this evening, the Lord brought this little phrase back to my heart again. And I looked at the introduction and I threw it out. It was rubbish. Have you ever heard of a minister looking at his old sermons, wondering what on earth he was doing? Well, I did that when I read that introduction through. I looked at it and went, absolutely no way. But this phrase really burned within me. This was the phrase I believe that the Lord would have us even to consider and to meditate in our final moments this evening. The context for this passage is that the Israelites are at the dawn of a new chapter in the history of the people. They're there at the edge of Canaan. They're ready to cross into that land and to possess the land of Canaan as an inheritance from the Lord. And Moses, the great leader of the Israelites, of course, will not join with them. His time of leadership is coming to an end. And he gathers the people together. And Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law, hence the name of the book, Deuteros and Nomos, second and law. He's rehearsing it once again, the law of God in their ears. That which must be obeyed, that which must be kept. Indeed, within the opening verses of chapter 7 alone, and this chapter is a wonderful passage, you have a number of the great doctrines of God which are brought even to us. Great doctrines of God for the church of Christ. Verse 2 and verse 3, Moses speaks of the doctrine of separation. Because there he speaks and he says, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. In other words, you must stay separated from the heathen. You must stay separated from the enemies of God. You must have that line of demarcation between the children of God and the children of man. There must be no coming together. There must be no alliances. There must be no unions. Of course, that's a great doctrine that must be reminded to the church even to this day. We are in the world, but we are not off the world. We are separated unto Christ. In verses 7 and 8, you are presented with the great doctrine of unconditional election. And the great doctrine of the covenant is found within those verses. You have that wonderful parallel even within those verses of the sinner being saved. God did not set his love upon us because of who we were or who we are. God did not love us because we were special. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Sin did our mothers conceive us, and there was nothing righteous, there was nothing appealing, there was nothing clean within us. But God loves us. God chose out of sinful man a people unto himself. God has an oath. There is a promise between father and son that cannot be broken. An oath to redeem a people, an oath to bring those people unto himself. As I said, chapter 7 is a truly wonderful passage of Scripture. As you make your way through this chapter, you come to verse 22. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. This is a promise for success. It's a promise for victory. It's also a reminder and a lesson. Because the victory, the success of God's work will come in God's time. And the success of God's work will come in God's way. Even if it's little by little, always remember it's still progress. There are two things I want to leave with you this evening in relation to this verse where Moses promises little by little. I want you to see the progress and the nature of it. The nature of it. Because he says here, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Moses is speaking to a people who, for the overwhelming majority of that congregation, had been born in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb could look back to the days of Egypt. Out of all of the people of Israel, only two would survive from the slavery and come into the promised land itself. For the rest of the Israelites, they were born in the wilderness. They were born as the people went day by day, week by week, and month by month, and yea, year by year for 40 years. They only ever knew the wilderness. The information of a promised land was known to them. It had been rehearsed, no doubt, by their parents. God has promised us a land that flows with milk and honey. God has promised us a great inheritance, but these people didn't know it. These people had never seen it. These people had never experienced it, never walked through the land for themselves. But now Moses declares to them, you will make progress. You're going to enter into the promised land and you will make progress through it. You're going to enter into this land that God has for you, and you're going to traverse through it. You're going to seek it. You're going to have it. You're going to bring it onto yourself. But it's little by little. Now, I'm sure there were those of a more impatient nature. There always is in every group of people. There are those that have more patience than others. And within the Israelite people, even there at the side of the River Jordan, I'm sure there were those of an impatient nature. Those that could not wait to get in. Those that could not wait to experience all that the land had for them. Those that wanted to have everything. Wanted to have it then and now. But verse 22, God makes it clear. You're not going to have it now. You're not going to have it in one clean swoop. Because verse 22, God highlights to him, you couldn't handle it. If I give you everything, if I give you the whole land and you just walked in and just it all fell before you like a domino effect and everything just fell, you couldn't take it. You'd be consumed by it. The beasts of the field would increase upon thee. Has to be little by little. You know, you might think, but this is contradictory, because in Joshua's day, as they went into that great campaign, there were days of great blessing. There were days of great advancement. There were days of great progress. God had promised it. Deuteronomy 9, verse 3, it says, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly. And that did happen. Some days and some battles, there was a great victory. There was a great advancement. One battle in one day, they destroyed five kings and five kingdoms. Another day, they destroyed seven kings and seven kingdoms. But there were days whenever they couldn't even take Ai. There were days when they could only take Ai. That little city. That little advancement. Overall, it was little by little. And the fact that there was even progress at all was an amazing feat in itself. Because you look at chapter 7 and the verse 1. It says there, the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Just one out of all of those nations is greater and mightier than the Israelites. One. And yet God is promising through Moses, his servant, you're going to take on all of these great nations and you're going to defeat all of the great nations, not just one of them, all of them. Even though one on its own is bigger than you. One on its own stronger than you. One on its own, numerically and humanly speaking, should destroy you. And yet God is saying, you will not just defeat one, but over time you're going to defeat them all. You'll not just drive out one nation, you're going to drive them all. But it's little by little. You know, I look back in 2022. I've heard the reports this evening. Thank God there has been progress. Thank God for the one soul that we know of who was saved, even as the Reverend McDermott testified in this church. Thank God for the few extra children, the new faces that there have been in the children's meeting. Thank God for the new faces, even in the youth fellowship. Thank God for the new families that now attend our church, even over this last year. They've come into the church and we rejoice in seeing new families, new individuals coming and settling and even listening week by week and coming in and worshiping God in this house. And we thank God for every single individual, every single person, those new individuals that have come into contact with the church, even through the online means. Those individuals, who knows where they are and what part of the world, all of the different nations that have heard, even through sermon audio and YouTube and all of those different devices, and we've no idea where they are or who they are, but we thank God for every one of them. Why? Because it's God's work. And it's progress. The world might look and go, wow, what's that and compared to what there is? Three new children, what's that compared to the hundreds in this area? Three new young people, what's that compared to the hundreds of young people that are running the streets? Two new families, what's that compared to the many families even in this area? And they can look and they can laugh and they can say, well, so what? It's next to nothing in their eyes. Even some Christians might look at it that way too. Some Christians might look at it with the words of Thomas. Thomas brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to the Lord. There's over 5,000 people that are hungry and their tummies are empty. He brings 5 loaves, he brings 2 fishes, and he says, what are they amongst so many? But it's progress. It's little by little. No, I think of this congregation, yeah, I think even of the Free Presbyterian denomination as a whole. We're in a land, in a nation, we're in an area as a church where every enemy of the gospel is greater and mightier than we. We've been reminded of that even in last year's census results, haven't we? Protestant churches are declining. The enemies of the gospel, whether it be secularism, modernism, atheism, Roman Catholicism, liberalism, they're all growing, they're all great. They're all stronger than we. In the sight of them, we're but grasshoppers. They're greater, they're mightier than 6 Mile Cross. A little church. And yet we have a God who promises and who says our enemies will be put out little by little. in spite of their greatness, in spite of their wealth, in spite of their power, in spite of their influence, in spite of the influence even they have in society. You think of the control that they have over the media. Those that push certain agendas, they're in control of the media. They're in control of what you're hearing. They're in control of the spin and how it's brought to you. And yet all of that authority, all of that control, all of that might and power they have, and yet the Lord says progress will be made, and progress has been made. Even if it's little by little. Another home reached. Another child introduced to the Savior. Another soul saved. Another individual built up in their knowledge and their faith of Jesus Christ. Progress has been made, little by little. The nature of it, secondly and finally, I want you to see the necessity for it. The necessity for it. Verse 22, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Progress is a must. If the Israelites did not progress, they would become extinct. If the Israelites did not enter into the land of Canaan, they would wither away and die away in the wilderness. If they would simply stay on the side of Canaan and they stayed on that side of Jordan, they would never progress. If they never went up against the Canaanite armies and they never went up against nation by nation, they would whittle away and they would die away until nothing. They would never defeat the enemy. They would never grow. They would just simply die off as a people. The end. Game over. You lose. Going backwards wasn't an option. Standing still was failure. They had to go forward. They had to take the land. They had to defeat the enemy. You know, it's the same for the Church of Christ. The cause of Christ must ever be advancing. The watchword, forward, ever, backward, never. If a church is not going forward, and it's in decline. It's stagnant. It's in trouble. There's a necessity for progress for the sake of the people. The church is not going forward. Then whenever individuals pass away, you lose the elderly members and there's nothing coming on behind. There's no younger generation and it's just bit by bit, one by one, the seats are empty. One by one, they're called home and doors close. Progress is a necessity for the people. But progress is also a necessity for the cause of God. You go through all of these verses in chapter 7. You note for yourself in your private time how many times that God will speak of the direct involvement of God. The progress is never left simply to the people. It's never a case of, well, I've brought you this far. As you enter into the land, you're going on your own now. No, God is involved. Every battle, every campaign, we'll have the Lord's handprint and the Lord's might and power behind it. He is their God. Joshua will find out outside of Jericho, he is the captain of the host. His honor and his glory is involved here. Our God is not one who has ever or will ever suffer defeat. And so for the Israelite people, they were his people. Therefore, the victory, the progress was a necessity for the cause of God. For the Church of Christ, which bears the name of Christ, which has the God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the king and head of it. Therefore, his name is on it. Therefore, his character is involved in it. Therefore, for his cause, there must be progress. God never suffers defeat. When sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden, God did not lose. That perfect plan of redemption was already in place. Victory was already ensured. The serpent's head would be crushed. When Christ hung upon the cross and died for our sin, it was not a defeat. The disciples thought it was a defeat. You ask the two disciples walking in the road to Emmaus, they were cast down, they were treading with those heavy weight and burdens upon them. Why? Because Christ was gone. Christ's death upon the cross was not a defeat or a backward step. It was victorious. That's why he cried, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Why? "I have finished the work. Redemption has been accomplished. I have paid the debt in full for all of my people. I have taken their sin upon me in my own body. I've paid the debt for every one of them." And the Church of Christ tonight lives in the realization of that victory. That's what it teaches in 1 Corinthians 15. That's what it teaches in Revelation. The church overcomes the devil by what? The blood of the Lamb. There's a necessity for progress for the cause of God. There's necessity for progress for the character of God. These verses continually told the Israelites that God would give victory. Numbers 23:19 teaches that God is not a man that he should lie. God is truth. He's holy. Therefore hath he said, shall he not do it? You know, for us today in the Church of Jesus Christ, as we launch out into a new year, as we seek more progress, as we seek new blessing, we hold on to the promise. Christ said, "I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In other words, I will give progress. There is progress in 2023 to be enjoyed. There is progress to be expected because of Jesus Christ. Not because of a preacher. Not because of plans that a session make. Not because, and I say this respectfully to each one that's involved in the work will not prosper because of who you are. The work will prosper because of who Christ is. The Lord will defeat his enemies. The Lord will defeat those who even stand against the cause of the gospel. The Lord will defeat those even that stand against the Church of Christ in this area. We live in days, it was mentioned, and I've seen it even in the reports that our missionaries send out at the end of the year. And those involved in the children's work within our mission board going into schools, and they mentioned it, the drive, the push that there is to get all Christian assemblies stopped, to get them out, to stop having Christian, whether it be ministers or children's evangelists, in taking assemblies in schools. The Lord will defeat all the enemies. The Lord will not stop until the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." There is progress in the work of Christ. Christ cannot and will not fail. The cause of the gospel will not fall in the battlefield. The standard will be raised. Christ is our captain. Victory is assured. Progress has been made. Progress will be made, even if it's little by little. So, child of God, take heart. Don't give up. Don't look around and say, what is this amongst so many? Keep looking to the Lord. That one child by one child by one child, one family by one family by one family, reached with the gospel. One for Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing one verse just of the hymn number 20 again. Just before we give thanks for the food. The hymn 20 and the verse 1. We praise thee, we bless thee, our Saviour divine, all power and dominion forever be thine. We'll stand again as we sing, please. And I'll go to the door afterwards for any that have to slip on. But for those that are staying, just go out through the door and then up the steps and in to the upper room. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that he is our hope. He is the one that we turn to, that we trust in. O Father, we thank thee that the cause of Christ will not fail and will not fall, regardless of the enemies that we come up against. The Lord is victorious. Oh, Father, write thy word upon our hearts. We thank thee for the things provided. We pray that we'll eat and drink to thy glory. Lord, give us a blessed time of fellowship one with the other, and then take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name, amen.